When it comes to salvation of the soul of an individual, the Lord doesn't take much time. Salvation comes in a moment when one yields to the Holy Spirit entering into their heart and their life. And it only takes a moment. We worship and we serve a supreme deity. There's only one supreme deity, only one God. Most people, when they think of one God, they think of one person. Their thinking is wrong. God is a Trinity. Look at Acts 17 and verse number 29, if you would. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Then in Romans 1, in verse 20, now notice verse 29 in Acts here, the 17th chapter, it speaks of the Godhead. So we worship and serve the Godhead. For the individual things of Him from the creation, Romans 1 and 20, of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, in Psalms, the Bible says that nature declares the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. It shows the glory of the Godhead. All right. What does it say? The individual things of Him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse for not believing in God. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Him, that's in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Does that mean all three are in Him? No, it means that He is the manifestation. He is the outward showing of the three. All right, John 17, verse number 21, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. By Trinity is meant there are three distinct persons in the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Equal in persons, holiness, power, and in wisdom. When we say these three are one, we do not mean in number one, but they are one in mind, will, purpose, in the highest sense. Jesus prayed that His people should be one as He and the Father were one. Certainly, Jesus was not praying for His people numerically to be one, But as we read in Acts 4 and verse number 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have all things common to the essence, or whatever word that you might use. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul, neither said, not one in number, but in all of these ways, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. The Bible uses pronouns in connection with God. They show that there is a plurality of persons in the Godhead. Genesis 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. What do you mean? I mean, we're made in the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Creative power is attributed to all three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Only divine persons possess creative powers. And the Bible teaches that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all engaged in the work of creation. Ephesians 3. And verse 3, how that by revelation made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Now Colossians 1, 12 through 17 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Then in John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This proves that they are all divine persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are deity. No question about it. And even creation declares it. And it's foolish to think there is no God. It's insane to think that this creation as mighty as it is, as wonderful as it is, as amazing as it is, could come into existence by accident. It's so dumb that you ought to believe that I can take my watch completely apart to every little piece, put it in a sack, and shake it around and shake it around, and eventually that watch come back together and keep time. Any fool would know that before that could happen, those things would wear out and banging it against each other. So it's foolish to think that any other than the triune God of heaven created all things that exist, and know as well, we know that they all consist through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, or continue to exist. All three are said to be eternal. Therefore, they are uncreated and self-existent.
That's right.
Uncreated and self-existent. Persons, by the way.
Yes.
Persons. Think about it. Created in the image and likeness. We're created persons. God is persons. Notice he didn't create the angels like that, did he? He didn't create any other being like that. Man, how we ought to be mindful of how richly blessed we are. Absolutely. Because he made us an eternal being. And then when we messed up our eternity, he made a way for us to redeem and to have an enjoyable and a wonderful eternity. Brother, if that isn't love, we don't know what love is. They are uncreated, self-existent persons. The Father, in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. The eternal God is thy refuge. God the Son, 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Jesus Christ, eternal. The Holy Spirit. Notice the Son with the Father in the beginning, eternal, before creation. Hebrews 9, verse number 14. The Holy Spirit. How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The Holy Spirit, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Both the Father and the Son are unchangeable. Look at James 1, verse number 17. James 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Same today, yesterday, and forever. The same. What is the same? He's the same in every way. But most important to us is his standards do not change. Does he change his mind? Can it be changed? Yes. He was going to destroy the Israelites. And Moses got on his knees and pled on their behalf and moved God's heart. And God said, well, I won't destroy them. He repented, changed his mind. So don't use he never changes to try to justify things that aren't justifiable, because it's been done. He doesn't change in character. He doesn't change as far as his principles and precepts are concerned. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ doesn't change. Matthew 3. Verse 17, the Bible says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All three are manifest at the baptism of Jesus. All three are in different places. Jesus in the water with John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit descending from heaven in the form of a dove or like a dove. And God the Father speaking from on high. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All three are involved in the sacrificial offerings. Hebrews 9 and 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, there they are. We have the blood of Christ. We have the eternal Spirit. Through the Spirit, or by the Spirit, he offered himself. Without spot, he offered him to God. So we have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, all three set forth here. All three are involved in the work of redemption. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In that he has chosen us, and in him defines how and who. It's all in Jesus. When Jesus comes back, all the dead in Christ shall be raised. All those alive in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Not that he chose us to want to be saved and another not to be saved. He chose that everyone who would come repent of their sins and by faith trust Christ as their Savior would be in Christ. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. First Peter 1:1-2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about election. Elected. All three are involved in the election. Again, that's through Jesus. All three elect. All three predestinate. Look at Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, also he did predestinate to become formed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Then in James 1, verses 17 and 18, elected, predestined, and begot. James 1, 17 and 18, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Romans 8, 29 and 30. He elects, or they elect, they predestinate, they beget, they justify, and then they glorify. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, to understand what he's talking about there and what's being set forth, notice if one has a problem with this, these are here because he wants to show forth that all things work together good to them that love the Lord and are thee called according to his purpose. He's using these as an example, or this as an example for them. Now, some say this is will happen in the future. Some say it's in the past. Some say it's in some say this, say that. But what does this say? It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. First fruits of the resurrection is what that's talking about. Run the references, look it up. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Well, who are they? They're already glorified. They're the first fruits of the resurrection. Who's this the work of? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's who that work is of. Where do you find these examples? You'll find them over in Matthew, where it talks about some of the saints around Jerusalem arose, walked into the city, walked around the city, and they had come out of their graves, those that was buried around the Jerusalem. There are many, it says, that were buried around Jerusalem. They come out in their glorified body, which is the first fruits of the resurrection. First fruits of the resurrection. The resurrection is like a harvest, and we have references in the book of Matthew about the harvest. It's ripe unto harvest and so forth, and much about the harvest. Well, the first fruits of the harvest are those that mature early. And so you take those. That's the first fruits. Then you water and you take care of them. And then after the rest of it, the main part of it is matured, then that's your main harvest. That's the one that we're looking for for today, and one we're hoping for very soon. One that the signs about us tell us that it is and could be very soon. We're not going to put a day and hour on it. No man knows. But we can know it's going to be soon. And the signs are all there pointing toward that very thing. At any rate, and then the gleanings will be those that are saved in the tribulation period are the gleanings. That's those that mature late in the harvest, and you go back and you take them. Those were the ones that were left for the people, the Hebrews in the Old Testament. They'd leave it for the poor and for the widows and the needy. And so that's how that the resurrection is, first fruits. This is what that verse of Scripture is talking about. It's showing that all things work together to them that love the Lord and thee called according to his purpose. Yes. The reality is these individuals are already glorified. If they're glorified, then we will be glorified as well. If you're here tonight, will you one day be glorified? Are you sure? Search your heart. Look at what's going on in our world today. Look what's happening. Lord's coming soon. Terrible things are coming up on this earth. Look at it. We can see the seed planted everywhere. And we need to prepare and be ready. You need to be sure. You need to be sure. On your knees and in the books. That's the way to be sure. If you're here and you're lost, you're here, you know that there's something between you and God that's holding you back from him. You need to come. You need to repent of your sins and by faith trust him as your Savior. You ought to be sorry that one is good as God is, would suffer, bleed, and die for your sins, and be buried, and be raised again, that you might have new life and eternal life. If you're here this evening, and you don't have the fullness of the joy of your salvation, you need to come. You know, we're all sinners. And if we don't confess that sin from time to time and seek his forgiveness, we're going to carry a heavy heart as we go around. It's going to rob us of the joy of our salvation. Jesus can take care of that. And in that taking care of it, you'll have him, the Holy Spirit, and the Father involved. Let's stand. What should we sing, brother?